He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.
So we've been looking at this whole subject, and it's a powerful thing because what it comes to, the heart of what we're talking about, it's a fundamental question. So whether you're a Christian here, whether you're a recovering Christian, you're finding your way back, maybe you're on the outside a little bit looking in, maybe you're here and you're exploring the Christian faith. We all have, as human beings, a fundamental question to ask. So everyone, whether you've got faith or not, wants to know the answer to this question. What does it mean to be good? What does it mean to be a good person? What does it mean to live a good life? This week has been difficult for me. One of my dear close friends died on Thursday, didn't wake up on Friday morning. And that always makes you question things. It makes you think about your life. It makes you think, what happens if I was the one that didn't wake up on Friday? How would I know that I'm living my life well? You may not have faith, you may not believe in God, but all of us want to know an answer to that question. What does it mean to live a good life, to know that you've made a difference, that the world is a better place for you being in it, particularly for those of us in the privileged West as we sit on top of such incredible resources and we're blessed in so many different ways. We want to know, have we made a difference? Have we made the most of what we have been given? How do you be good? But for those of us that are followers of Jesus, there's a bigger question, and that is, what does the Lord God want from us? What does God want? And sometimes people get into all kinds of knots because they're trying to please God, and they think, well, what does he want? Does he want me to be really passionate as a worshiper? Does he want me to go to church? Does he want me to give lots of money, pray lots of prayers? What does God want from me? If there was only one little passage. And the passage that we've been given and we've been looking over the last couple of weeks actually answers that question. It comes from a prophet 700 years before Jesus was born, before Jesus walked to the face of this earth. This prophet, his name was Micah. He said something. He wrote to the nation at a time of great national difficulty. There was challenge. There was invasion. There was oppression. And he wrote to them and said, listen, in the midst of all the difficulty and in the teeth of a howling gale of challenge, you need to know what it takes to be good. And you need to know what exactly it is that God wants from us. And this is what he says. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? They're the same question. They're the same answer. What is good? What does God want from us? What does it mean to be good? What does it mean to live a good life? And what does God want from us? The same question, the same answer, and this is what it is. To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Just read that with me from the act justly. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And this is amazing. And so we've been looking at what it means to love mercy. A lot of times Christians, they find themselves in the position of being perceived, and sometimes rightly, very often rightly, and if you've experienced this, and apologies from me, but Christians can sometimes be some of the most judgmental, hard-hearted people who adhere to a set of rules and regulations and spend their whole time telling other people what they're doing wrong. And this could not be farther from the passion and the personality of Jesus Christ. He says, I want you to love mercy, not judgment. I don't want you to love rules. I don't want you to love moral superiority. I want you to love mercy, being merciful to people, understanding that you've been shown great mercy by God. And he says, I want you to walk humbly. Sometimes we want to change the world, and rightly so. Sometimes we look at the problems surrounding us in the world and we get strident and we get aggressive and we can get into this kind of morally superior mindset when everybody else is part of the problem and we're just the good ones. We're sorting it out. We're the social justice warriors, whatever. And we can have a proud attitude. Let me tell you this, proud people never make any fundamental changes to the world. Jesus says the way it's going to happen is it's going to happen through simple, servant-hearted people who on their hands and knees are going to lay down their own agendas and lay down their own priorities, their own rights, and they're going to give themselves for the work and the service of others. But here's the thing that we end on this week. Act justly. What does it mean to act justly? It's a big question. Because actually, think about it. Okay, if I say, I want you to act justly, maybe I'm guessing your first reaction would be, okay, so when I'm in a situation where I've got to act justly, I'll act justly. When I'm in a situation where there's some kind of moral dilemma, I'll try to do the right thing. You think to act justly, it means that whenever something comes up and you've got to make a decision, you act justly. So maybe you make the decision, I'm not going to fiddle my expenses. I'm not going to cheat on my exams. I'm not going to try and subvert the system when I'm doing my revision. If I find some money or some property that belongs to someone else, I'm going to act justly. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to hand it in. I'm going to be good. And anybody, if that's all that acting justly means, anyone can do that. Anyone can do it when it's just about being reactive. When you see a situation and you react to it. So something comes into your life, something lands on your doorstep, and it's about doing the right thing, being just, making the good decision, the tough call, you do it. Anyone can do that. And some people, that's what they think, that's all that they think that is required, that to be a Christian, to be a good person, well, when the situation requires it, you do the right thing. It's reactive. But that's not what Micah was saying. And it's easy to miss the passion and the power of his language when he says, I want you to act justly. And when he records God's words to us, this is what he wants from you, mortal. Act justly. It's not in no way a reactive thing. It's not a response to a situation that you found yourself in. It is a proactive thing. It is a going out of your way. It is a taking of the initiative. It is a seeking out justice and injustice situations and bringing justice. So to act justly doesn't mean that I just react when I need to. It means that I take it upon myself. Wherever I find injustice, wherever I find oppression, wherever I find difficulty, I am proactive. Martin Luther King, 1963. He's in a prison cell in Birmingham, Alabama. He's been put in prison for protesting the civil rights movement. They show him in prison to taunt him. They show him articles that have been written actually by other church ministers criticizing his thing because it was civil disobedience. And so people say, well, you shouldn't do that. You should obey the law. And he's saying, actually, and he writes in the very newspaper that they taunted him with. And his lawyers take the newspaper out and they publish it and it becomes known as a letter from a Birmingham prison, a letter from a Birmingham jail. And he says these famous words, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. That's a big deal. But he's saying you've got to be proactive. Proactive. Now, Kate, you've just seen her. She's amazing. She's always proactive. In fact, last Sunday on the race, she was incredibly proactive. She can't help herself. She goes into any situation. She sees something that's not working right. She will always launch herself into the fray and make things happen. So this is the deal. Last Sunday, there were 13,000 runners running the 10K. It's one of the biggest races in the whole of the United Kingdom. And each of these 13,000 people at the same time, like a hive mind operating in unison, each decided to go to the toilet at the very same time. Now, how many of you were there in the queues for the toilets? You know what I'm talking about. There's only so many port-a-loos that you can fit in any square mile. And so there was these massive queues. And so Kate finds herself in the queue and she notices something. She notices that all these women queuing for the toilets, they only go into a toilet when they see another woman coming out of the toilet. But she can figure it out. It's obvious if you look at it closely that there must be toilets that are unoccupied. She makes a rallying call. She shouts out, ladies, some of these toilets are empty and I will release them to you. Follow me. And she goes by and she starts opening doors, flinging wide the door, flinging wide the next door. It's empty. It's empty. See, there is freedom. There is toilet for you. Flinging wide the door, flinging wide the door. People are cheering. People are clapping. People are getting excited. People are feeling the whole excitement of it. Flinging open the door, and then suddenly there's this strangled scream and everyone bursts out laughing. This one was not empty. And this woman is trying desperately to close the door. Okay, so it doesn't always work out. But the principle is this: be proactive. And actually, what we are looking to do with Love Running is to open doors where people are kept trapped behind them. And so we want to open a door for children who are fleeing and who are forgotten and who are helpless and who are hopeless in refugee camps. We want to fling open a door of opportunity, fling open a door to education, fling open a door to a future that has been robbed from them. We want to do the same at home. We want to fling open doors for women that find themselves addicted to Class A drugs. They find themselves on the streets. And let me tell you, of the 150 or so women that work the streets in seedy Bristol back alleys, every single one of them has been abused in some way. They've been sexually abused. They've been physically abused. They've been abused by family. They've been abused by friends. They find themselves at the bottom of the pile. We say this is unjust. And we fling open a door and we say you can make a life off the streets. And for those kids that find themselves on the bottom of the pile, we live in a culture where it's easy to get on if you've got the benefits. And if you've got if you're already on top, you get more on top. You know, we give the bonuses to the bankers and we take the benefits away from the bottom of the heap. And I've got nothing against bonuses for bankers, but I have got something against the poor getting poorer. I have got something against the poor being endemically poor from generation to generation to generation, passed down like a genetic disease. We fling open doors and we say we want this to change. It's unjust. We want to fling open the door. We want to fling open doors for those that offend and then are incarcerated and then offend again and then get reincarcerated. We want to say break the cycle of these lives that are being wasted. Fling open doors and say you can get a job. You can get a fresh start. You can get hope. You can get a new beginning. Flinging open doors. Flinging open doors. Because injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And I look at the kids, and we saw them in Azraq camp, these bright, beautiful, enthusiastic children running up to us. One kid, he runs up to us. He says, interview me, interview me. My English is excellent. I say, your English is excellent. I want to open a door for him. He says, I've got hopes and I've got dreams. It's unjust that he should have those dreams snatched away from him through no fault of his own. It's unjust that he should have less opportunities than my children. And so we fling open doors. We fling open doors. We fling open doors. And so justice in God's eyes isn't proactive. It is going not just to where it hits you, but going to wherever we find injustice, wherever we find breakdown and hurt, social deprivation, people marginalized, people on the edges, people held down, a boot on their necks so they can't be all that God made them to be. We say it's unjust. But here's the thing. What does it mean to act justly? How on earth do we act justly? Because you're thinking two things right now. One, you're thinking, yeah, man, preach it. Yeah, down with injustice. Rah. You're feeling good because we've raised a whole hunk of money. We've done something unparalleled and unprecedented. But there's another part of you, the second thing, and you're just saying, but where does it stop? Where does it end? And how do we continue to give? It's one thing to do Love Running and yay, we did it. We gave it our all. But now, what about my normal life? And it's so hard if you think the whole world is full of pain. The whole world is full of suffering. The whole world is full of injustice. Are we supposed to just knuckle down under that weight like Christian beasts of burden, just forever straining and struggling, gritty toothed, trying to make a difference in the world, and it never stops? It never stops. How'd you do that? How'd you submit to that proactive thirst and passion and fire for justice when there's so much injustice? How's it possible? How's it possible to live like that and not be totally crushed or totally hardened? How do you live like that fully? And this is where we get back to the passage. He says this, "He's shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you?" But let's focus in on that first bit, because it says, "He has shown you, O mortal." Everyone say, "He has shown you." Okay, answer me this question. Where did he show you? Where did he show you this? I mean, where this is in the book. This is in the Old Testament, okay? The Old Testament is the stuff where there's a bunch of laws and rules and regulation, and you don't eat prawn and all that kind of stuff. So, where did he show you this? Who knows? Ten Commandments? How does that show me? You see, the Ten Commandments is a great answer, Simon, but I don't think it necessarily shows me. I think it tells me some stuff, some more stuff for me to do. But here he says, he's shown you what's going on there. In fact, this whole Bible verse, he has shown you what is good. Where did he show me? And all this stuff about loving mercy, walking humbly, acting justly, it's kind of like it's different to so much of the rest of the early Bible, the Old Testament, the stuff before Jesus that we read. What on earth is going? Where has he shown us this stuff? And this, lean in, because this is my good bit, okay? I'm going to land something good. It's all about how you understand the Bible. Micah is a prophet. And prophets speak not just of this reality, but of a reality to come. And what Micah is doing, he's doing what all of Scripture does. And when Jesus does come on the scene 700 years later, he says, all of Scripture, it speaks about me. It's a big trailer to point to me. You got anything in the Bible you don't understand, you just need to know this is the basics. All the Bible is supposed to show you about me. And in some incredible way, Micah the prophet, he looks down the centuries. He looks down the corridors of time and he sees Jesus and he says, he has shown you what is good. He shows us perfectly, because this is what Jesus does. Jesus shows us what is good. And if you don't know Jesus today, then let me tell you, the best thing that you can do is to find him, to see him, to discover him, to know him. Because he shows us what is good. One of the wonderful passages in the Bible, it's written by one of the disciples, John, the young teenage disciple who followed Jesus on those dusty roads. And then as an old man, he wrote down his recollections. In John chapter 1, verse 18, he says this, "No one has ever seen God." You think you know what God's like? You don't know. You have no idea. You have no clue. No one has ever seen God. But the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. This is what Jesus does. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the one that shows us what God is like. And FYI, when it says here, in the closest relationship with the Father, the word that is used there, and if you've got an old-fashioned Bible, it will actually say, don't laugh, don't snigger at the back. It says, he who was in the bosom of the Father. Now, we don't use the word bosom anymore because, you know, bosoms. But essentially, the word that is used in the Greek only comes once, and it means, well, it can be translated the lap. It can be translated closeness to someone. But the very literal translation of it is within the chest cavity. Within the chest cavity. So he who is God and is in the chest cavity of the Father has made him known. What do you find inside the chest cavity beating away? You find the heart. You find the heart of God. And it's like God says this, God the Creator God, and listen, whatever ideas you've got about God, whatever views or whatever people have told you, this is all that you need to know. That God himself says, this is who I am. O mortal, this is who I am. And he wrenches apart his chest, and out comes of his beating heart a person walking into the foreground. And that person is Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, this is what God is like. That's why Jesus does good. The Bible says that. The Bible says in the book of Acts, it says, Jesus, he went around doing good and defeating the works of the enemy. He went around bringing justice. He went around lifting up the oppressed. He went around giving dignity to the marginalized, whether they were children or women or any other people who were at the bottom of the heap in the society that he came into. The beating heart of God. And you say, but Philip, that's what God looks like. What about us? What about us? This is about how we act justly. But that's the point, that we are made in the image of God. And if you see what God is like, you see what human beings are like. That's why Jesus could be called Son of God and at the same time, Son of Man. In other words, perfect representation of who God is. And yet the very same time, perfect representation of what a human being looks like. This is what it looks like to be human. And this is what it looks like to love. And this is what it looks like to act with justice. And this is what it looks like to walk with humility. And we've had a kind of foot motif through these last three series, these last three parts of the series. I don't know if you noticed it, but the first one was when a woman washes his feet, a woman with a, let's say, checkered past. And Jesus, instead of condemning her, shows her mercy and loves to show her mercy and forgiveness. And she basks in that changed. And then last week with Claire, we talked about Jesus this time. Jesus is the one that washes feet because Jesus is humble. He knows who he is. He knows where he's come from. He knows where he's going. He has total security. And out of that security, he serves. And he says, the way you change the world is not with power and proclamations, not with big government or a big stick, but with humility and serving those who should be serving you. But he shows us what it's like to act justly. And this is where I want to end it. This is where I want us to pray. I want us, no matter where you are on your spiritual journey, every single one of you, to say the best thing that you can ever say, Jesus, show me. Jesus, show me. Jesus, show me how to live. Jesus, show me how to act with justice. Show me what it is that you want me to do something about. Show me what it is that you want me to get involved with. Show me how I can make a difference. Show me how I can live in such a way that I'm not burdened down and browbeaten by the incredible burdens of the world, but that I am free to be and free to love and free to give and free to just allow the life of Jesus. Because actually the way that Jesus shows you is to walk from the heart of God and walk into your heart. Wouldn't you love Jesus beating in your heart, saying, this is how you live, this is how you show mercy, this is how you act justly, and allow me, let me, I will work through you. This is how we change the world, friends. We don't change it through legislation and throwing bricks. We do what we can, and I'm not knocking government, and I'm not knocking all the processes, but I'm saying fundamentally that God changes the world by Jesus revealing who he is and allowing us to reflect that very same image. So I want us to pray. I want us to pray, and then I want us to worship, and I want us to celebrate. And listen, hear me on this. If you don't know Jesus, or if you've got questions about Jesus, or you're just rediscovering this whole thing, I want you to do yourself a favor. Book yourself in for that Alpha course that you find a flyer for on your seat right now. Wednesday it starts. I'll be there. I'd love to see you. Welcome you in. We won't make any assumptions, and we'll take it as it comes, but we'll just ask the big questions of life. It's a wonderful way to explore, but the best thing that you can hope for is that you see Jesus, and Jesus shows you how to be good. Jesus shows you how to live. Jesus shows you how to love. And we find ourselves loving mercy. We find ourselves acting justly. And then day by day, week by week, month by month, until that morning that we don't wake up, we walk humbly with our God, Jesus. So here's the big idea for this week. If we want to act justly, we need to let Jesus show us how. Then let him do it through us as we love mercy and walk humbly with him. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for what we've been able to see. I thank you that you're a God that delights in showing up when we call on you. Lord, targets and totals are no difficult for you. You can come and you can do so much more than we're anticipating and expecting. But I want to pray, dear God, that we wouldn't just be a bunch of happy volunteers who raise a bit of money. I want to pray that we would be reality-shaking, world-changing followers of Christ who bear your image and walk humbly with you as you show us how to do justice. That we be lovers of mercy and that change the world. Show us, Lord Jesus. And for those of you, us here that don't know you, I want to pray you'd show yourself to them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.